on. Thank you. That was awesome. Why don't you stand with us this morning? You know, a couple weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I woke up with a song in my heart, and I haven't been able to get it out of my head. So I thought you guys could just sing it with me today.
Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. Something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves, call on Jesus. When they look to heaven expecting as they pray. Oh, I just feel like something good is about to good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. Oh, and brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves, call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray. Oh, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day.
Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Come on. Well, happy new year. Happy new year. How many of you stayed up past midnight? Anybody? All right. Some of you are excited about that. Maybe you didn't, not used to staying up past midnight. It was a big accomplishment. And well, let's just, we're going to enter into a time of worship here in a few minutes. But before we do that, let's just dedicate this service to the Lord through prayer. And good to see you all out in service this morning. Glad to have you online. If you're visiting with us online, we're so glad for you to be a part of the service today. And how many of you know that God is good? And the best days are just ahead of us. And so, Lord, we just give you all the glory and the praise today. Lord, we ask right now that you would put your hand upon this service. Lord, we pray that you would just bless everything that happens here. We thank you, Lord, for a brand new year, 2021. And Lord, we ask that this year would be the year you move in a greater and most dynamic way in our lives. Lord, we put our faith and our trust and our hope in you, and we know, Lord, that you will fulfill all the promises you've given us. Lord, we pray, Lord, for healing. We pray, Lord, for financial blessing. Lord, most of all, we pray that souls would be saved and the kingdom would, Lord, grow. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Good to see you. Good to see you. And those of you that were wondering, yes, we survived insomnia. We survived the New Year's Eve lock-in. And I will tell you, it was interesting. We were coming across from Soccer City to the Blazers ice skating rink, and from the north side, it was raining, and we got to the south side, and we could hear the tink, 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 the little ice hitting the window, and I thought, okay, so here's some ice coming, and we went into the Blazers ice skating rink, and at 1 o'clock, and we were skating, and there was really hardly any white on the ground, and we came out of the Blazers ice skating rink, and I could not find the van. So I thought, something has changed here. And so I got with all the youth pastors from the other church, and I said, look at me. Drive slowly. Drive slowly. We will get there just fine if you'll just take your time. We did. We got there just fine. The only accidents that we saw were people who were going exponentially way too fast. And we saw one guy go all the way from the fast lane over halfway up the ravine of the ditch. But he was going about 60 or 70, and I would not advise that. So thank you for those of you that sent your young people with us. We had about 125 of us that brought in the new year and had a great time. And it was we had a wonderful service. And most of all, we rang in the new year with I believe I counted six young people giving their heart to Jesus. So let's give a hand for that. Amen. 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 Well, I want to welcome you to service today. If you're a guest, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. And if you'll take that and fill that out, that give us a record of your attendance. Just lets us know that you came to visit with us today. And you'll place that in the offering bag that will pass in just a little bit. And we would appreciate if you would do that. And like I said, it's in the seat back right in front of you. We have a few announcements for you. First of all, don't forget that we have our New Year's fast, our 21-day fast. It started on New Year's Day, and it's going through the 21st. If you haven't started yet, you can start today and go 21 days from today. That's fine. I want to encourage you all to fast something. Some of you have already shared with me what you're doing, whether it be that you're fasting from sweets or you're trying the Daniel fast or you're fasting from social media or some other thing. It doesn't really matter what you fast. It's just a principle of fasting together. And I've had several people ask, well, why are we fasting? Is there a specific thing? Well, sometimes you fast because you want a specific answer for a specific issue or problem or thing that you're facing. And sometimes you fast for the general idea of asking God's presence to be here in a greater way. And so for here in our church, we're fasting as a church because I don't know about you, but I want a greater move and presence of God in the middle of Noble Assembly of God. Amen? Amen. And so as a group effort, we're going to do it together. And no matter what you fast, we're cheering you on. You can do it. And we're going to see God move in a great way as we're obedient to give up something so that we can have more time with him. And then January 10th and 11th, which is just next Sunday and Monday, we'll have evangelist Lynn Wheeler here. And we want you to be here for that. You're going to have I know that's going to be a blessing for you. And so on Sunday morning and Sunday evening next Sunday, Lynn will be here. And then Monday night, we're calling a miracle service at 7 p.m., he'll also be here. And so just just another way of emphasizing and encouraging us during our fast, all right? So begin to fast and pray even for those services too. And then on the 24th, which is just 3 weeks from today, Reverend Michael Kopic, who is planting a church in the Seattle, Washington area, will be here sharing with us his vision. How many of you love it when you see God planting churches? I loved, instead of churches closing down, I love it as we're adding churches and continuing to have places for people to come to know Jesus. And so there's some of those. Connect groups will be coming up in February. So those are some things you could put on your calendar. And then last but not least, I'm looking for Larry Newell. Larry, where are you at? Larry's going to stand up in the back. Larry, would you wave at us? Larry Newell is heads up our safety team, and that's those that keep us safe and secure during services, make sure that our kids are doing good over there, make sure that everything's good in the parking lot and everything else. And if you would like to be a part of this ministry, we need some more people to be a part of our safety team, and all you do is just go find Larry, and he'll fill you in with all the details. But we do it on a rotation, and so it's not like you're going to be doing it every week, but we need more people to be a part of our safety team just to keep an eye on things during our service times. And so if you be interested in that, go see Larry and he will get you hooked up with that, all right? Well, at this time, I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we give of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, amen. How many of you, the Lord's blessed you this year, even in the midst of all this chaos? I know some of you have told me or expressed on Facebook that you've been watching for the stimulus check, been watching in the bank account. And hey, I just say, allow the Lord to use that to bless you and to guide you and how to spend that. And know that the Lord will continue to pour out his presence upon us as we're faithful in our giving. So Lord, we thank you for the tithe. We thank you for the offering. We thank you, Lord, that in the midst of chaos, Lord, we can put our eyes upon you and trust in you. And Lord, we ask right now that you would just take what's given. Lord, add souls to the kingdom of God and bless the ministry of Noble Assembly. In Jesus' name, amen. After the offering bag passes, if you'll stand, we're going to go back into worship.
Faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where I am standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. Empty grave, the evidence.
cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sins rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. Oh, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life, yeah. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life.
One of the things that we always do at the end of a year is we look back on the prior year and we look at how God has blessed us. In 2020, a lot of us were ready to get out of it. But when you look back, you realize how great God was during the whole time. We were tired of being in it. We were ready for a change, but God is right there holding our hands the entire way. He never left us, and we had nothing to fear. He is a good, good God.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Thank you. life brings suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and
had a difficult time in 2020 and you were there. Lord, I just thank you for that. I praise you for that. And Lord, we look forward to such an exciting 2021 where your spirit falls on this church and on this nation and that many are turned to you. Lord, help this church be ready for them. Help me be ready for them, Lord. We just praise you and we thank you and glorify your name.
So faithful. So constant, so loving and so true, so powerful in all you do.
For me.
Sorry, I thought there was another verse. That's a good song to remind us that he's for us. Amen. Aren't you glad God is for you today? I want us to pray for some people this morning. Shelly Tyler needs our prayers. Rosemary Smith had a stroke. She is doing better, but continue to pray for her. Remember the Alphen family. Zach right down here's stepmother passed away a week or so ago. And then on New Year's Eve, his father passed away. But there's a good note to that. Zach and his family had been praying for several years for Dad, who never really wanted to have much to do with the Lord and church. But New Year's Eve, he was dying of the COVID. Zach and his sister got a chance to witness to their dad. And just before he died, they led him to a saving knowledge of the Lord when they asked him, if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, he go, I do. I sure do. And it wasn't long after that he passed away. So tremendous hope that we have today, Zach, that Dad's going to be in heaven. And so we'll be having a memorial service here. We don't know when yet. It's going to be a double memorial for his mom, his stepmom, and his dad both. Two funerals in one coming up. We don't know when yet. But so let's pray for the Alphen family. Steve Becker has cancer, a friend of Nelda Gay. Bob Saunders was taken to the ER last night. He did come back home, but just continue to pray for him. Sue Richardson is Robin Boggs' cousin, is having some severe kidney problems, so they ask you to remember her. And then Matt Caldwell, his family, entire family has the virus, so we want to pray for him. How many of you know someone that needs prayer with the virus or sickness? Amen. It's good to have Tony back in service this morning. Tony, glad you're here. It's good to have Bill back today. Both of these have been out for a while, so let's go to the Lord in prayer and lift up these needs to the Lord. God, we come to you today. We just thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you. Father, we do stand as a church family for Shelly. We stand with her, Lord, in prayer and lifting her up to you. We pray that you would just touch her. Thank you, Lord, that she's at home, but she still has a long way to go. And so we pray for her right now. We thank you, Lord, that you were with Rosemary as she had the stroke. We just pray that you would just continue to help her and heal her. Father, we pray for the Alphen family today. We pray for Zach and for his sisters. And we, Father God, we can't even imagine losing a mom and a dad just within a few days of each other. Father, we just lift them up to you, but we're so thankful that they made their trip to heaven, Lord, that it's the hope that we have of life eternal. And we thank you, Lord, that you opened up Randy Alphen's heart at the last moment, and he responded positively to the question, do you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? We thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you for opening up his heart to you and for him responding. Father, we pray for Miranda, another one I overlooked, a 20, 21-year-old young lady in ICU. We just pray for Miranda today. We pray for Steve Becker. We pray that you would just touch him. We pray for Bob Saunders, Lord, that you would just minister to him right now. We pray for Sue Richardson. Lord, just touch her and touch her body, Lord, that needs your healing this morning. Father, we pray for Matt Caldwell's family. We pray that you would just touch and bring healing to Matt, Lindsay, and all their family. We just pray that you just touch them, Lord, today. God, and so many of us know people who need your healing. We pray that you would just do that and minister to each one. We just thank you, Father God. Touch our nation. Our nation needs healing. Our world needs healing. Lord, we just pray for a move of your Spirit. As we've sung about this morning, we just feel like something good is about to happen. Lord, let that be a great, great revival in these last days, a great move of God across our world and in our nation. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, musicians, singers, for a wonderful time of worship. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. We're going to read verses 21 through 27. Luke chapter 9, verses 21 through 27. And a message entitled, More of the Son in 2021. More of the Son in 2021. Father God, we just pray as we look to this word today, as we look into these verses, as we look into our hearts, Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us, Lord, and that you would just minister to each one, Lord, today. We just call upon you for your help, your strength, and your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 21, it says, Jesus warned his disciples not to tell anyone who he was. The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things, he said. He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He will be killed, but on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. Then he said to the crowd, If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross on Sunday. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God. We are 3 days into a new year. Hopefully 2021 will be better than 2020. Can I get a good amen? But whatever happens in the coming days, we must be focused on drawing closer to Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen on that? We must be focused on drawing closer to Jesus Christ. We must want more of the Son in 2021. And guess what? He surely wants more of us. We want more of him, but the truth of the matter is, he wants more of us. That's really where the problem is. And Jesus spoke very frankly about being someone who wants to follow him in the verses we just read. Jesus has asked them up in verse 20 where we didn't read. He said, but who do you say that I am? And of course they said, you are the Messiah sent from God. And then he starts telling them what is going to happen to him and likewise what would be required for those who would desire to follow him. He told them he would endure suffering, that he would endure rejection, that he would even be killed. But on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. Then he told them those who want to follow him must be willing to do the same thing. Maybe not necessarily physically, but definitely mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We must take up our cross, die to ourselves, and follow Christ. He said you must turn from your selfishness. You must deny yourself. He said you must take up your cross daily and follow totally, with all of your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's wanting us to do. Not just tomorrow, the next day, but all this year and all the rest of our lives, to continue to walk closer to the Lord. And if we don't do that and we try to hang on to our life without submitting our all to Christ, we will ultimately lose out. But if we do what Jesus says, and we completely lay our life down and surrender our all to Christ, we will ultimately be the winner. He said, if you lay your life down, you will actually save your life. He wants us to be all in. Amen? He wants us to be rich towards God. Some people have been very wealthy in this life. Very wealthy in every way but one. They weren't rich towards God. I think of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was the co-founder of Apple and the CEO, and he started that company in his garage with his high school friend. And that company rose to such prominence that they become even more valuable than ExxonMobil. He seemingly had gained the whole world. He had billions of dollars, but at age 56 in 2011, Steve Jobs left it all behind. And he lost his soul because he had trusted in New Age and he had trusted in Buddhism. And he lost out. He trusted in everything but the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, you can gain the whole world, but if you lose your own soul, what have you gained? We must die to ourselves. We must take up our cross as Jesus did. Be willing to suffer with him if need be. Be willing to not be ashamed of him, whether we're at Walmart or at the high school, at the junior high, in our neighborhood, on our jobs. Never be ashamed of Jesus Christ, because he said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. We must have the boldness to say, I believe in Jesus, regardless of who stands with me wherever I'm at. Luke 12:21 says, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. My desire as your pastor and even for myself is that we go into this new year, that we all have a rich relationship with God and do whatever it takes to acquire that kind of a relationship. As I said before, we should want more of God, but really he wants more of us. There's plenty of God. God is, when we call upon him, we move closer to him, he's right there, but he wants more of us. We want to need to be rich toward God. We need to walk close to him. We need more of the Son of God in 2021. However, let me remind you of this famous quote. Some said that Albert Einstein said it. I got to looking that up, and it said, that that's not necessarily so. They really don't know who said it. But the quote is, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Doing the same thing. Oh, we're going to live our life in 2021 the same way we've done in the past. If we do that, we're going to have the same results. How many of you know if we're going to see more of the Lord in 21, if we're going to be more like the Son, if we're going to walk closer to God, we're going to have to do some things differently. We're going to have to draw closer to the Lord. We're going to have to set our mind and our heart like flint on determining to be rich towards God. So we must decide to do things differently, or at least more intensely and more passionately, if we want to see more of the Son in 21. I want us to look at three areas that we can do better and more passionately for us to see more of the Son this coming year. First of all, number one, more seeking the Son. More seeking the Son. Yeah, you say, I thought the Lord was with me all the time. I thought he never leaves us or forsake us. That is true. But to get more of his presence and more of his power and his closeness and anointing and that intimacy, you must go after that. You must seek after that. The scriptures are full. I'm just going to give you three or four scriptures. But there are many, many, many scriptures that talk about seeking the Lord. One is 1 Chronicles 16:11. It says, search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Continually seek him. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Wednesday. Not just at prayer meeting. But every single day, continually seek the Lord. I think we ought to be such people that seek the Lord that when we get up in the morning, the devil says, oh, crud, he's up. Is that what the devil says when you get up in the morning? Oh, crud, Randy Brown just got up. Or does he say, it doesn't matter. He doesn't matter if he's up or not. He never does a hill of beans worth a difference to my kingdom. Let's let the devil be mad that you get up tomorrow morning. Amen. Not in our strength, but in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. You see, we can do nothing, but through Christ, we can do all things. Psalm 14:2 says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. The Lord is looking down to see if he's got any seekers. Is there anybody seeking me today? Is there anybody turning their thoughts and attention towards me? Or are they just getting up and racing through their day and not giving me a second thought? And of course, Hebrews 11:6, one of my favorite verses, says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he," what? "That he rewards those who diligently or earnestly seek him." Can you actually say in your heart, "I am a diligent seeker of the Lord"? I am an intensely passionate seeker of God. God wants us to be God seekers, kingdom seekers. And of course, Matthew 6:33, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." That goes right back to that scripture where it says, if you hang on to your life, you'll lose. But if you give up your life, you'll win. It's kind of a funny thing. It doesn't make sense. How many of you know the kingdom of God doesn't always make sense? You know, Jesus says if you want to win, you got to lose. Jesus said if you're going to be first, you got to be last. Jesus says if you want to get, you got to give. It's all backwards. That's okay, because God knows what he's talking about. I'll choose God's word over the way of the world. So we can never seek the Lord too much. Would you agree with that? We can never seek the Lord too much. Somebody's always that statement that you always heard growing up, whatever. He's so earthly minded, or he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. I don't agree with that statement one bit. I think a person that is so heavenly minded is lots of earthly good. So I don't know who come up with that. I know what they meant, that he's just kind of spaced out, you know, whatever. But no. The more heavenly minded we are, the more earthly good we do. So we can't seek the Lord too much, but let me ask you another question. Can we seek the Lord too little? I'm afraid we can. I'm afraid we can seek the Lord too little. We just don't give him the honor and the place in our lives that he deserves and that he wants, and that he can fulfill his plan in us and through us. So we can seek the Lord too little. We don't want to do that. One of the best ways you can start having more of the Son in 2021 is something Pastor Phil talked about during announcements, is our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Say, "Lord, for the next 21 days, I'm going to set my heart and my mind to seek you. I'm going to give up lunch every day so that you and I can have a conversation. Or I'm going to give up breakfast. Or I'm going to give up Pop-Tarts. I don't eat Pop-Tarts. I used to eat Pop-Tarts. That was the breakfast of the Lance household growing up, was Kellogg's Pop-Tarts. I'll tell you a funny story. This has nothing to do with the message, but it's funny. It has to do with Pop-Tarts. When I was little, about 6, 7, 8 years old, they had these Pop-Tarts called chocolate elephants. And they were a Pop-Tart, but they were shaped like an elephant. And they were all chocolate and had a little nose that come out there and everything. And so they were a hit for a while. And we just, my brother, "Hey, let's go eat chocolate elephants and we'll head to school." So we would eat our chocolate elephants. Well, long after chocolate elephants were history and nobody made them anymore, mom would continue to buy Kellogg's Frosted Pop-Tarts, the chocolate with the white icing or the fudge icing. And so one day mom got sick and she sent my dad to the grocery store. She'd been in the hospital or something, and she made a grocery list. Bread, you know, bananas, chocolate elephants. So my dad goes to the store and he's looking all over United Supermarket, Enid, Oklahoma, trying to find the chocolate elephants. Well, that's not so bad. I mean, he knows what they are. We know what they were, even though they long didn't exist. So he goes up to a lady in the store. "Excuse me, ma'am. Can you tell me where your chocolate elephants are at?" The lady looked at him like, "What planet did you just come from?" It was so funny. That's a story. I told you, it's just a free thing. No charge for that. But I always liked that story. Now, where was I? Oh, prayer and fasting. Let's dial in by saying, "God, what do you want me to fast during the next 21 days? And believing that God will hear and God will see. Also, you can get online and Get you a plan to read the entire Bible through in 1 year. Wouldn't it be neat if January 3rd, 2022, you can look back and say, I read the entire Bible from cover to cover in 2021. There's Bible plans galore where you can read a chapter in the Old Testament and a chapter out of Proverbs or Psalms, a chapter in the New, and they have it all figured out. Well, by the end of the year, you read the entire Bible through. I think that's a good thing to do. I remember the first time I was 11 years old. I remember they put out a little brochure at our church. Read it through in 72. It's funny you remember those things. Also, you could get involved in maybe Wednesday night prayer meeting. Maybe you haven't been a part of Wednesday night. I would say that's a part of seeking God, wanting to be in the prayer meeting. I want to get in where the prayer meeting is. Sunday school. There's lots of different things. Just being here in church. Just being faithful to church is another way to seek God more in 2021. You see, the trouble with missing church is eventually you don't miss it. Yeah, I know there's people that are watching online, and for health reasons they have to do that. But I pray that they're diligent in tuning in. And I pray as soon as it's safe for them, they feel like it's safe for them to do so, they could be here. Because, friends, you need to be in the house of the Lord. I've seen people that they're faithful to the Lord, and then they start missing out, and pretty soon they miss out of church, and then what? They're missing out with God. They totally go another way. It's important to be in the house of the Lord. Seeking the Lord reminds me of another scripture, Jeremiah chapter 29. We like chapter 29, 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And a lot of times we stop right there. But verses 12, 13, and 14 are just as important and powerful. It says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Talking about seeking the Lord. If you look for me wholeheartedly. Everybody say wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. That's how God wants us to seek him, wholeheartedly. The more you seek him, the more you find him. And the more you seek him, the more he will be found by you. Establish a quiet time. If you don't have one already, take a time. Pick a time, morning, evening, afternoon, whenever, a quiet time for you and the Lord. You know, even Jesus did that. Jesus got alone with his Father. With the Heavenly Father, often. I kind of think if Jesus needed to do it, maybe we need to do it, wouldn't you say? If Jesus said, I have to go talk to my Heavenly Father, I have to pray, and he was the Son of God, I think that we also need to pray. So the first way to have more of the Son of God in this coming year is to be involved in more seeking. Secondly, more serving the Son. More serving the Son. Another thing we can do is more passionately, intensely serve the Lord with our time, with our talents, with our treasure. Usually in the month of January, I talk about stewardship some, meaning that we are going to give an account of a God of how we spend our time. God owns it all anyway. How we use our money, how we use our talents, and so on. We need to be good stewards, because being a good steward is being a good Christian. Amen? Tithing your money. We need to be giving 10% of our money to the Lord. My parents taught me that years ago when I got my first allowance. I used to get 50 cents. And Dad would say, a nickel of that you put in the offering on Sunday. Tithing is so important to the Lord. Giving your time, using your talents, those are all stewardship issues that a Christian should be involved in and must be involved in if they want to please the Lord. Is there an area of ministry that gets your interest? Is there something that you could do or you want to do? Check it out. If you think, well, maybe I'd like to serve on the security team once a month. I think it'd be nice. I'd get me a nice shirt that says safe. Does it say security team or safety team on it, Larry? Safety team. Go around, make sure everything's safe. You know, we live in a crazy world. You never know who's going to stop by and cause ruckus at a church. Some knucklehead can't seem to keep from driving in our front lawn, yard out there already. I noticed this morning that somebody drove right through our yard and tore it all up. I don't know why people do things they do. But just making sure things are safe, making sure that the children are okay, and just doing that once. Maybe that's something that you would like to do. Maybe it's singing on the praise team. Maybe it's playing an instrument. Maybe it's working in the nursery. I don't know. There's so many different things. Check it out. Come talk to one of the pastors. There can never be too many people serving. The more we do together, the less stress it is on everybody. There's an old saying that says 80% of the people do, or 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And that's really true and really about any endeavor. But here's the deal. You never know what God will do in your life when you say yes to his prompting and get out of the boat. You just may walk on water. You never know what God has up his sleeve for you. Whenever I was a youth pastor in Enid, which 28 years ago today is when I left Enid, and 28 years ago next Sunday is when I started here. So it was actually on a Sunday, and so it's kind of an anniversary day. But just before I left Enid a few years, I was needing a youth sponsor, and so a couple. And I was praying, Lord, who would you have to be youth sponsors here in our youth ministry? And so I was walking through the sanctuary one Wednesday night, and there was a couple sitting there, and I kind of knew them, not real well, but kind of knew them. And the Lord just really spoke to my heart, and he said, I want you to ask that couple right there to help you with your youth group. And I said, okay. And so the next week I called them, and I said, hey, the Lord really put you all on my heart to see if you'd be interested in helping with youth. And they said, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll come try it, you know. This guy worked in the oil field, you know, and so he checked wells and did oil business. And so he started coming and started helping set up chairs. And if you know me, I'm really OCD about chairs. I like things straight. Everything's got to be exactly straight. And so Scott would do this. We'd set up all the chairs, or I would set them up mostly, and he would help me. And then just before youth service would start, he'd come over and move a chair out, just kind of tweak it out, just to get my goat, you know. But anyway, he was a good man. I forgive him for that. But thing is, we would have Dr. Pepper or Cokes or whatever after church a lot of times, or pizza, and he would serve that. And he was doing all these wonderful things, helping men. He was just as faithful. He was always there early, always on time, always told me if he was going to be gone, and just very faithful. There was a youth workers conference coming up. I said, hey, Scott, Melody, you want to go to the youth pastors conference with us? And he goes, yeah, we'll go. And so he goes, I'll drive. And so we're in the car, and we meet at the church real, real early. Got to go to Tulsa on a Saturday morning. And I noticed when I got in the car, him and his wife was up front, and I was in the back seat. And I noticed on the car there was a cup sitting on the dash. I didn't think much about it. But we're driving down the road, leaving Enid, about 4:12. All of a sudden, Scott reaches up and picks up that cup and goes, pfft. I thought, oh, great, Lord, you gave me a guy now that's a youth sponsor that chews, you know, and chews tobacco. That's really good. Thank you, Lord. And so I thought, man, why didn't I check this guy out a little bit more? Now I've got this guy that's, you know, using Skoll to the back, you know, going to be my youth sponsor. Anyway, the Lord said, you let me deal with Scott. I started praying. He said, you let me deal with Scott. You know, and so pretty soon several months went by, and Scott got up. He said, can I give a testimony in church? And I said, yeah. And so he got up and he testified how that he had started dipping Skoll when he was about 12. And he's been in the oil field all of his life. He says, you know, the Lord's really been on me lately that's not a really good example for our young people, and I need to quit that. He said, Pastor Steve's never said a word to me. I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. I was glad I didn't at that point. He said, but the Lord has been talking to me really bad about it. He said, I just want you to know, young people, it was a week or two or 3 weeks ago. He said, the Lord helped me with that. I gave it up. I haven't touched it since, and I never will. Long story short, Scott and Melody served until we left and came here. And today, right now, he's in his pulpit in his church in Enid preaching the gospel. You never know what's on the other side of your yes. When you involve yourself in what God wants you to do, you never know what God has out there for you. So always say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you? How can I use the talents you've given me? And he will show you. Romans 12:11 says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. We will all stand before God one day and give an account of what we did with what he placed in our lives. What we did with our money, what we did with our talents, what we did with our time. We're going to stand before God and give an account. Quickly moving on, not only do we need to seek the Lord more, not only do we need to serve the Lord more, but number three and last of all, we need to be more sending the Son. More sending the Son. There are so very many, many people who need to hear about the Son of God who gave his life on the cross and rose again so that they could know Jesus and be saved from their sins. There are lots of people out there that need salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. You know this scripture, but it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. We must be sending the Son all over the world. I am so proud of you and this church because we are heavily involved in missionary work around the world. We support, I counted them up this morning because I wanted to have the final number, 62 missionaries, missions projects around the world. $100 a month. $6,200 a month. I heard about a big church in Florida that runs several thousand, and I forgot how many missionaries they support. But you know, I did the comparison thing with the size of their church and how much they sent to the size of our church and how much we send. We're right there with them. It's a huge church, and they support like 300 missionaries. But our church, this church, $6,200. And that's just in missionaries being supported. That's not counting other ways. You know, because of your faithfulness to give to missions, because of your faith promises that we do, and because of the way we tithe off of our general fund to missions fund, just last month, I mean, we've had a good balance in our missions fund this year, but just last month, we were able to respond to a need of American Indian College in Phoenix, Arizona. We sent them a check for $5,000. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. That's exciting. Sending the gospel. Not only those sending the Son around the world, but sharing the Son right here at home in our Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem. Our Noble and Norman is our Jerusalem. Noble needs Jesus just like Norway does. Norman needs Jesus just like Nigeria. Your neighbor needs Jesus just as much as the lost people of Calcutta, India. There isn't a hell over here for Africa and Nigeria and Calcutta and South America and then and hell over here for your neighbors. It's all the same hell. So we can be excited about reaching the lost and sending our money and our prayers to reach the world, but if we're not concerned about our neighbor, it's kind of a contradiction. Each of us must be both senders and goers. We send to those places where we can't go, like Mexico and the 62 places. But we go when we reach out to our neighbors and to our friends and to our loved ones, to our classmates, to our coworkers. Is there somebody you work with that needs to be saved by Jesus? Does anybody here work with people that are lost? Let me see your hands. Do you work with people that are lost? I wasn't raising my hand. I was just showing. Sometimes I wonder about Pastor Phil, but no. No, practically everybody here, if you work a secular job here somewhere, there's lost people you work with. And I guarantee you that missionary that we send to Africa isn't going to be the one reach the person you work with every day. You're the missionary. You're the missionary. Is there someone at school? Any of you young people that go to the high school or junior high, is there any lost kids in your school? Is there any kids in your school that are going to hell? Oh, I bet there are. Who's going to reach them? It's going to be you. You're the witness. They're watching you right now. If you claim to know Jesus and they know you go to church, they're already watching you. And you're either being a bad witness or a good witness. I'm not saying you have to go down the halls of your school banging people with the big Bible and acting like you're holier than thou. That really doesn't do a lot of good. They're going to turn you off and say, get out of my face. But my friends, you can be a witness to God just by your actions, by your attitudes, by your prayers. If somebody knows you're a believer, young person, they come up to you, would you pray for my mom? She just found out she's got cancer. Would you pray with me? What a witness. Your actions and your attitude speak louder than your words. In our school system, that is very good and key. And when you can use words, do it. But your attitude, and sometimes you won't know till 20 years later. I found out at my 35th high school reunion that there was a young man that watched my life back then. And I'm not saying I was perfect. I'm not doing this to pat Pastor Steve on the back. But there was a young man that at my 35-year reunion that told me, Steve, I watched you in high school. I remember you. I saw how you tried to live for God. And he goes, that influenced me. And I heard this third person, actually. He was given testimony at another church when a person in that audience that knew me came back and told me about my friend from high school and what he said. He said, yeah, he said, there was a guy in my school named Steve Lance. And he said, I watched him. And he said, he's one of the reasons, besides just the Lord working in a lot of areas of his life, that today I'm called to the ministry and I'm pastoring a church today myself. My friends, you may not see the results right now. It may take years and you might never find out. But that's between you and God. But you live for the Lord. Be an example. And teachers kind of have their hands tied in a lot of ways of what they can say and do at school. But my friends, you can, as a teacher or a worker or a bus driver, I've worked in the Noble Public Schools. I worked for them for 9 years as a bus driver. You can still lift up the Lord. You can still lift up the Lord by your actions and by your attitudes, and people can read you. You don't have to tell them I'm a Christian. You don't have to have a bumper sticker on your car. You don't have to wear a big four-pound cross on your neck. People know. People can tell. You got family members that need Jesus? Pray, believe, speak God's word over them in prayer. Hell will be the eternal destination of all these people, classmates, co-workers, family members that don't come to know Jesus as their Savior. We are the ones to reach out to them. We are the lifelines. In prayer and in opportunities, as we pray for God to give us an opportunity. In conclusion, musicians can come. The more we seek, the more we serve, and the more we send the Son, the more we will see the Son in our churches, in our families, in our country, in our life. Let me say that again. The more we seek, serve, and send the Son, the more we will see the Son in His action. We will see the Son of God do glorious and awesome things in our family, in our church, in our community, in our schools. We will see Jesus show up in our loved one's heart. It's like Zach, Jesus showed up Wednesday night in your dad's heart. We will see our friends' family come to know the Lord. We will see our church services be filled with God's presence. We will see Jesus show up in our country's future. How many of you know our country needs the Lord? How many of you want to see more of the Son in 2021? Let me see your hand. Amen.
Me too. Father God, that's our prayer. That's our desire, God, that we see more of you. Lord, we may have to do things differently because, as we said earlier, we get the same results if we just keep doing the same old thing. Help us step up. Help us to be more passionate, more intense in our seeking, in our serving, and even in our sending, that we might see more of you. Lord, heads are bowed, our eyes are closed right now, and maybe you're watching online, you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I'd just like to pray with you right now. If there's someone here in the service this morning, you don't know Jesus as Savior, you're not sure that you would spend eternity in heaven if you died today, I want to pray with you. Before I pray, would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me in that prayer. Anyone in the sanctuary today or watching online, lift up your hand right where you are. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Father God, I know, Lord, that you know our hearts. And Lord, you know who needs you. And Lord, I didn't see any hands raised. I don't have no way of gauging the internet and who's watching online, but you know every one of our hearts. And so, Lord, we ask you to forgive us and cleanse us of anything in our hearts and lives that is not right, that's not what it should be. Forgive us, Lord, when we do things and go places and hang out with people we know that drags us down. Lord, why do we want to take the devil's delicacies when God has a great, beautiful, wonderful banqueting table for us? Lord, why are we accepting the devil's junk food when God has a wonderful, wonderful banquet table full of blessings? Lord, I pray that you just forgive us, cleanse us, help us, Lord, to stay focused on you, to seek you more than we ever have before. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed. Lord, we know we all fail. And we're so thankful, God, for your grace and your mercy that helps us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Continue to pour out your Spirit in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, in our community, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. And Father God, we're coming to receive communion this morning. And we want to remember you. We want to remember the great, great price that you paid for us to be saved and for us to experience heaven. So we thank you, Jesus. Amen. Like the men who are going to serve communion, if they would go ahead and come. They're going to pass these to you at your seat. And then I'm going to come back and give some instructions, going to read the scripture, and we're going to all receive communion together. If you are a believer, you're welcome to receive communion with us. You don't have to be a member of this church. If you're watching online, quickly go get some grape juice and bread. Join with us. We do this once a month, usually the first Sunday of every month. We honor and remember our Lord and Savior for his great, great sacrifice for our sin.
Dare not trust the sweetest grace.
Before we receive communion, to examine ourselves. Well, right there, as you're holding that bread and getting ready to drink that cup, just look into your heart. Say, God, forgive me. If anything there, Lord, Lord, I want a clean slate, a clean channel between us. Cleanse my heart, oh God. We shared this in Sunday school this morning, Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Lord, as we hold up this bread and we prepare to drink this cup, we thank you, Jesus, that our sin was laid on you. We thank you, Jesus, that you carried to the cross every sin, every sorrow, Lord, every grief, Lord, every pain, Father God, every sickness, Lord, everything, God, that we wrestle with. Everything that separates us from you, Lord, you died on the cross to forgive us and to remove them from our lives. If not here on this earth, in heaven, some things, some crosses, some thorns in the flesh we may have to endure. Sometimes we don't get the healing physically we want, but we thank you, Lord, that in heaven, there is no sickness, there is no sin, there is no separation. So we receive this bread right now because it is a token of your broken body, and we receive it in remembrance of you. Let's receive the bread together. And Lord, now we take the cup. The cup is the new covenant, represents the new covenant that was put into effect by your shed blood on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that one one drop of your blood is all that's needed to take away our sin. Lord, there's nobody that's too bad, that's strayed too far, that's done too much, that is unable to be redeemed and saved and reconciled by the blood of Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that there is power in your blood. Power to change people's hearts forever. Power to change people's lives, families' lives, communities' lives, whole countries. There's power to change the world. And we receive this cup right now in great thanksgiving and in remembrance of what you have done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me together? Let's sing that old song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen. Sing it out. Pastor Phil, would you come and dismiss us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for this new year. We thank you, Lord, for the new opportunities that it brings. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that if we will just seek after your face, Lord, you've been abundantly clear in your scripture that you'll pour out your blessings upon us. Lord, so we ask right now that as we seek after you, that we would receive more time with you in your presence, more time in your blessing, more time in your wisdom and your strength and in your encouragement. Lord, we pray that in the midst of all the chaos that happens around us, Lord, that you would provide for us all the things you've already promised. Lord, joy and peace and patience, the ability to be kind and to be faithful and gracious. And so, Lord, we pray that our lives would be a light amongst those that are around us. And may you, Lord, make 2021 the best year we've ever lived. In Jesus' name, amen.